daf is daf Vav Amud Aleph. We'll begin today with the sugya of Behemas Arnona, which you'll find four lines down from the top of daf Vav Amud Aleph. A little bit of background. We have halacha of Bechor Behema Tahora, the firstborn from a kosher animal, which is one of the 24 Matnas Kuhuna, and a Yisrael is chayev to give that Bechor to the Kohen. The Kohen, in turn, will be makrivit on the Mizbeach. That chiyuv only applies to an animal that's completely, exclusively owned by a Yisrael. If the Nachri, we paskin like that, man the Omer, has shutvis, has partnership in the animal, then you're potter from Bechora. And this is a derivation by the Gemara at the beginning of Bechoros from the Pasuk, Hikdashti li kol Bechor bi Yisrael. Bi Yisrael v'lo b'acher. So even if the guy only has shutvis, he only has partnership, that's enough to exempt the Yisrael from the mitzvah of Bechor. Now, earlier in the sugya, Rava had mentioned that in the case of Mechoza, that was the city of Rava, he told the people that they have to be very careful about the chametz that belongs to the guy. And the reason for that is because of the sugya, which we learned yesterday, called Davar Gorim Lamom and Kamom and Dami. Once Israel has a chray such that if the chametz is lost or stolen, he has to pay for it and replace it, then it's considered his, and he violates Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. In that context, since we were talking about chametz that was owned by a guy, the Gemara now raises a suffix with regard to a behema that is owned by both a Jew and a guy, insofar as whether or not that exempts the Yisrael from the obligation to give that Bechor to the Kohen. Because as we said, Bechor means it's exclusively the Bechor owned by the Yisrael. The Arnona was the tax, and there was a specific tax that the king imposed on the animals, meaning he would collect the animals as part of a tax. Now, we don't know which animal he's going to choose, but he may in fact choose the Bechor, the firstborn. And in that case, the guy owns at least partnership in the behema, in the animal. And Rava was asked this question as to whether or not the theoretical possibility that the melech, when he collects the tax, he will confiscate this animal, which is the Bechor, and therefore he has legal rights to take away the Bechor, does that exempt Yisrael from the mitzvah of Bechor? The Gemara now clears the case that's not a suffix. Kol hecha d'motzi misalik le'bezuzi lo kami bo'ilon. If the tax is really a monetary tax, that you could actually convert it to dollars and cents, the melech or his representative, the tax collector, will come and say, well, we're going to take away this behema, but if you want to pay its value in tax money, that's fine. That's called matzi l'salik le'bezuzah. In such a case, the guy really doesn't own any partnership whatsoever in the behema, because he really is just collecting the behema as money for the tax. If the money is there, then the behema will remain in the possession of the Yisrael. So in that case, he's certainly chayev in Bechor. But ki kami boilon, we're vacillating about the case of hecha de lo matzi misalik le'bezuzei. If the owner of the animal has no way of substituting by writing a check, instead of taking away my animal, I'll give you the money, but rather the collection will be from the animal itself, what do we say in this case? We don't know for sure that the guy and the melech is going to collect dafka the bechor. He may choose another animal, but there is such a possibility. And in that sense, the melech has really rights to the entire eder, the entire flock of animals, including the bechor. Amalahu, Rava said, Ptura. You're not chayev in the mitzvah b'char in this case. Why? Because since you have no way of paying in cash to redeem your animal, and the tax collector may in fact take away your animal, he has rights through the tax laws to own partnership in all of your animals, and he may take this animal away. That partnership of the guy is enough to be mafkia, to remove the chiyuv of Bechar. The Gemara Sakashva Tanya Hasam, we have a brisa that says chayeves, and that's an explicit contradiction to Rava. The Gemara answers Hasam Dimotzi Misalikli. The brisa is talking about a case where the Bailim have the right to pay cash instead of the animal. So the animal, in fact, is not going to be confiscated, and there's only a chiyuv, which is called matzil salik le bezuze. In such case, we don't assume that the guy has partnership in your animal, because you can pay it in cash, and therefore it's owned exclusively by the Israel, hence your chayiv in Bechor. That has nothing to do with Rava, because Rava was addressing a case of lo matzi misalik le bezuze, which means that the guy representing the king will confiscate one of your animals, although we don't know which animal specifically at the end of the day he will take away, but since he has rights to every single animal, including the Bechor, therefore it's not exclusively owned private property of the Yisrael. As a result, you're potter from Bechor. Ika di Amri. We have a different transmission of Rav in the Lishna Basra. Amar Rav Behemas Arnona Ptura Min HaBechora Afal Gav Dematzi Mesalik Le. Rav made an absolute unconditional statement that in the case of Behemas Arnona, you're not Chayef in Bechor, even in a case where Matzi Mesalik Le Bezuzi, even though you could write out a check and redeem that animal, pay your tax, nevertheless, as long as you have not been misalik lebedami, you have not given him money, the melech still has his portion, his ownership rights as a partner in your animal, and therefore your bechor. However, isas arnona chayeves bechala. If we have a case of a tax that's collectible from bread or from dough, then in such a case you're chayev bechala. The afagav de lo matzi misalikly, even though you are not able to redeem your Isa, there's no question about it that the guy will collect your Isa, and yet you're chay b'chala. The Gemara is going to question why that's so. At this point, the Gemara says, my timer, how do we understand this distinction between Behemas Arnon on the one hand, where we say that he's parted from the Bechor, and Isas Arnon, who he says he's Chayv and Chala. And in the case of Behemas Arnon, according to the second transmission of Rava, Rava went as far as to say you're parted from Bechor even if you could pay him off, which means that his partnership rights is very iffy. And yet, Rava says he has partnership rights, and at this point you haven't yet paid him off, therefore you're potter from Bechor. But in the case of Isas Arnona, even though he has no way of shaking off the tax collector by paying a check, the Isa is going to be collected. Again, we don't know which Isa, but it will be collected under the tax law. And nevertheless, Rava says, Chayeves b'chal. He's obligated in the mitzvah of chal. So the Gemara asks, my timer. I mean, really, in the case of chala, in the case of the mitzvah of Reishis Arisosechem, Taviu chal Hashem, which is in Parsha Shlach in Bamidbar, the Chazal say, Arisosechem, your dough, but velo isas nochri. And in truth, the Gemara Menachas tells us that Shutfis Ba Yisrael V'Nachri, if you have a partnership of both a Jew and a guy, then you're part of them Chala. And yet, Here we say that Isas Arnuna is Chayeves Bechala. So the Gemara asks immediately, my timer, how do we justify this distinction between the mitzvah Bechara and Behema, the mitzvah of Chala in the Isa? Behema is Leikala, Isa less Leikala. Everybody knows, with regard to the Behema, that the guy has rights under the tax law that ipso facto give the guy shutvus in your behema. And therefore, we can establish that you're potum in a chal, and everybody will, potum in a bechar, and everybody will know exactly why you're potum in a bechar, because of the tax rights that the melech has in your bechar, in your animal. But iso lesle kola, no one really knows that the melech has a tax right to collect your isa, and that wasn't something that was clear. And beyond that, we don't know exactly which isa the guy is going to collect, and it's very possible that the Yisrael could decide which isa. It's not that the guy and the tax collector comes in and says, oh, I want that dough that you needed. You know, that's the one I want. So that in the context of this situation of Arnonas Isa, the spectator is wondering, why weren't you Mafrish Chala? Meaning, theoretically, we could apply the principle of Rava that he applied in the case of Bechar and say that even in Isa you're potter ben Chala, but then the onlooker doesn't understand, why is this Jew not being Mafrish Chala? It's unknown. And there's going to be a Marasai, and he's going to suspect you that there's Tevel, and Chas V'Shom, you're eating Tevel, and therefore you have to be Mafrish Chala Mina Isa, not Mi Ikra Din, but because of Lesle Kola, because of Maris Ayin, and the spectator will suspect you of eating Tevel. In both cases, whether it's the case of Behema Sarnona or Isa Sarnona, one with regard to Bechar, the other with regard to the Mitzvah Chala, you are Potter, and according to Rav, it means that you're Potter even though, as we said before, Delo Motzi Mesalik LeBezuze. Nevertheless, the guy has some rights to your Isa, you should be Potter, but because of Aris Ayin, you're Chayev to give Chal. The guy comes into your house on Pesach and he's holding on to a loaf of bread. Ein zokuk levaro. The Yisrael is not obligated to get rid of this chametz. You know, tell the guy, pack out of here, or I'm going to just, you know, light your chametz to fire. But hifkido etzlo zokuk levaro. If on the other hand, the guy asks the Jew to guard and protect his Isa, his loaf of bread, in such a way that the Yisrael will have to pay if it's lost, the Yisrael has achrayus, then zokuk levayr. Then the Yisrael is chayev to be mevayr lechametz, and this we derived yesterday on Daf Hey from the Pasuk Lo Yimotze, that even though technically it's not lecha, as it says in the Pasuk Lo Yiroa, but Lo Yimotze expands the scope of this violation to include even in a case of achrayus, where technically the chametz belongs to the guy, but you have achrayus. However, the Braisa concludes by telling us the following leniency. Li yiched lo bayis. If the Yisrael says to the guy, you know what? Here's my house. I want you to choose a certain place in my house, you know, take the northwestern corner or whatever it might be, and that will be the place where you will deposit your chametz. Then einu zokuk levayr. In such a case, the Yisrael is not considered as if he took responsibility in achrayus. Why? Because when he said to the guy, hare besi lefanecha, here's my house, put your chametz wherever you want, I'm not going to guard it, I'm not taking any responsibility for it. You choose your corner, come back in a month, and pick up your bottle of liquor. I'm not responsible for that. Ein zokuk levayr. Why? Shenemer lo yimotze. Now, wait a second. My karma. What does the Tana mean when he says that it's okay if you tell the guy, just choose your favorite corner, and that's okay because the pasuk says lo yimotze? What do you mean lo yimotze? Lo yimotze is an iser. You can't quote lo yimotze, which broadens the scope of the iser of possession of chametz to include cases where you don't own the chametz, and quote that pasuk. Lo yimotze is a proof that yichal lo bayis ein zochuk levayer. Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, you know what the Brice has in mind? Areshakoi. We're going back to the beginning of the Brice of Hachikomer. If Kido Etzlo Zokuk Levayer, if you took Achrayus and you're responsible in an event of loss, you have to pay for it, then you have to get rid of that Chavitz. Shenema Lo Yimotze, because Lo Yimotze expands the scope, as we said, of this violation, even without Lecha. And if and once he swells Makabal Achrayus, he's Chai. Ravashi Omar Liola Masefa. We can interpret this brisa, and the pasuk Lo Yimotze is coming for leniency to tell you that Yichel Lo Bayis Ein Zokuk Levayer. How so? Hochi Kama Yichel Lo. If the Yisrael designates for the Nochri his bias, and he says, "Look, here's my bias. Choose wherever you want." Ein Zokuk Levayer. Shenemar Lo Yimotze Bibatecha. Ah. The chametz has to be matzui bibatechem. It's got to be matzui. It's accessible to you for all your needs. Whatever you want to do with this chametz, any benefit you want to get from the chametz, it's considered yours. And in the case of yichel lo bayis, then ein zokuk levayer. And why is that? Because halav di dehu, the nochri ki koma ayil lebeise de nafshe koma ayil. When the Torah says that you have access to this chametz, it's motzi biyodcha, you can benefit from it, and that's why it's asur. Well, guess what? In this case, where he says to the guy, choose your place, you decide, it's going to be designated for the entire week of Pesach as yours, it's no longer Motzi B'Yodcha. Motzi B'Yodcha means that that area is yours. The location of the Chametz is yours. That's how the Torah says to the Jew, you're not allowed to have Chametz in an area that's yours. And that's called Yimotze Motzi B'Yodcha. But if you tell the guy, you know what, choose an area here, and it's yours, and that's where you're going to keep your chametz, that chametz is no longer matzi v'yodcha. And when the guy comes into the house, he's got rights to come into the house. After all, you gave him those rights. You gave him the green light. He has license to come in whenever he wants. So that it's matzi v'yada guy. It's not matzi v'yada Yisrael. So the Gemara asks, L'meimra d'schirus kanya. Are you assuming that the guy becomes a renter? Technically, he was really a shoel, but he's like a renter, meaning he has rights to use that area which he chose. The guy actually chose within the house with the okay, the permission of the Baal HaBayis. And now, when the guy comes in there, it's not Motzi B'Yad Yisrael, it's Motzi B'Yad Goy, because the guy is now the Baal HaBayis, so to speak, on that area. And where the chametz is located, the guy has a kinyan, and that's called Schiris Kanya. Now, the truth is that when you read this Gemara at first glance, you get the wrong impression. As if the Gemara is saying, well, Rav Asi is predicated on a breakthrough shita, brand new chidush, that Schiris is Kanya. We know that Schiris is Kanya. I don't need Rav Asi for that. That was never an issue. But in this kind of Schiris, where he didn't actually sign a contract, there was no formal kinyan, but it's considered like a kinyan because he allows the guy to use that area, that location, that corner to put his chametz. That itself is considered, according to Rav Ashi, a kind of a schiras, to the extent to which when the guy comes into the house, he's like going into his own house, and therefore it's not lo yimotz, it's not motzi b'yad Yisrael. So the Gemara asks a kash from a Mishnah in Masecht Avodah Zorah. With regard to Avodah Zorah, the Torah says that you're not allowed to bring geshkes, you're not allowed to bring idols into your house. And the mission in Avodah Zarah wants to know what happens if you designate an area in your house. The guy is going to live there. He'll bring in his Avodah Zarah, you know, his various idols. But it's no longer considered Beisecha. It's not a violation of this Isra. The Torah says in Dvarim Perek Zayin, Lo Savi Sava El Beisecha. So the Mishnah says, Af B'makom Sha'amru Lahaskir, even if the Chachamim allowed you, like for example in Chutzlaretz or in Surya, the Gemara establishes that you're allowed to rent out your house in Chutzlaretz to a guy, but Lola Beis Dira, they never said, Amru, they never gave you license to rent out your house, even in Chutzlaretz, as a residence. Why? Because we can assume if you give residence to a guy, he's going to bring in his idols. I once had a student, by the way, who went to a certain university, and there you couldn't, according to the rules of the local university, you couldn't choose your roommates. They would decide for you. He had a non-Jewish roommate that used to bow down to an idol every night, kiss it and bow to it. I mean, this is, you know, like in the 21st century. In any event, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to rent out your house to a guy. Why? Because the guy is bringing in Avodah Zarah. But the Torah says, Lo Savi Toeva El Beisecha. This is not Beisecha. Isal Kadaita the Skiris Kanya. You've designated that area for the guy, and that's where he's going to reside. Is Ki Koma Ayel Beisei the Nafshi Koma Ayel. When he comes in, he's coming into the area that you gave him permission and license to use. It's not Beisecha. So we see that Skiris ain't a Kanya. Again, when we say Schiris ain't a Kanya, it doesn't mean that he doesn't have Schiris rights. But it's not considered that it's not Motzi B'Beisecha. It's still Motzi B'Beisecha because you are the owner. When you have a Maskir and a Socher, the Maskir is the real owner. The Socher has certain rights. And the question is those rights enough to make the Socher, the renter, into the Balabais so that it's no longer B'Beisecha? So the Gemara answers, Shiny Hocha. The case of Chametz is different. The Afki Rachmana B'Loshan Lo Yimotze. Even though it's considered your house because you own the house, and therefore in Avodah Zarah you're not allowed to set up a situation where the guy will bring his Avodah Zarah into your house, even though he's a Socher. But with regard to Chametz, it's not that the Chametz is being brought into your house, because the Torah says it's not enough that you have technical ownership over the house and over this corner where the guy puts his chametz. You have to have it matzui biyodcha. The Torah adds this condition of matzui biyodcha. But this area where the Jew said to the guy, this is where you're going to put down your chametz, choose a corner and that's what's yours, that's not matzui biyodcha, and therefore in chametz you're potter. So in the halachas of Avodah Zarah, you, the Jew, are still the balabayis, despite the fact that you rented out space, and therefore you're going to violate the Isra lo tzavi soava el beisecha. But as far as chametz is concerned, the Torah added matzui, lo yimatzui, it's got to be matzui biyodcha. Here it's not matzui biyodcha, the guy comes in and out freely, you've given him permission to do so, and therefore, even though Schiris would not be Kona as far as being Mafkir, the Bailus of the Maskir, with regard to Losovi Sova, but as far as Chavitz is concerned, it's considered as if the guy is going into his own area. Amar Yehuda Marav, Hamotze Chameis Bebeso Biyantiv. What happens if during the course of Pesach, oh no, I missed the piece of Chametz, he finds Chametz, is Kofa Olav Esakli. He's not allowed to benefit from the chametz at all. And he's not allowed to even carry it, be metaltal it, and take it outside of his rishus because it's mukta, something that you cannot benefit at all. Even though it's food, is mukta. So the only thing you're allowed to do in order to make sure that you don't eat it inadvertently is covered over with a kli. Tosus right away here, Kofel of a kli asks, we have a mandiyomer mesechta Shabbos on Daf Mem Gimel who says ein kli nital el dovrad nital. I'm not allowed to move a kli which is not mukta for the sake of mukta. So Tosus gives two answers. Here, it could be that we're going to allow him to move that kli when he needs it for what's called makomo. Let's talk makomo. You're allowed to move this kli. Once you're allowed to move the kli and you have the kli in your hand, then you can put it on top of the chametz. Tosfos gives a second answer that this is a special dispensation. You're right. Ein kli nital davar nital. But here we're going to allow it in order to guarantee protection against chas v'shalom, the possibility that he might violate the Yisra Achil. Now keep in mind, there's no Bal Yerubai Motze here because he did Bittel before Pesach. Amar Rava, Imshal Hegdeshu, but what happens if he finds a piece of chametz that belongs to Hegdesh? Eino Tzarech, we don't even have a fear that he might come to eat it. Why? My taima, Mivdal Bidili Mineh. Something which is also the whole year round, like Hegdesh, because if you benefit from Hegdesh, you're chayv me'ila. So you have a natural tendency to avoid it. We don't need to add a kli on top in order to protect you. But regular chametz is lo bodol in shimine. It's mutad all year round. And as Tos says at the very beginning of Masechta Pesachim, there's a need for bedika to get rid of the chametz because you might be tempted to eat it, because you eat it the whole year round. But in a yontif case where it's mukta, we will kofal of a kli, has to cover it with a kli. What happens when the guy brings his chametz into your rishus? Again, you were not makabel achrayus, so you don't have to tell the nochri, pack out of here with your chametz. But nevertheless, oselo mechitza asar tfachim mishum heke. We're always afraid that even though there's no Bal Yerubai by Motzei, you weren't Mekabel Achrayus, but you might come to eat it inadvertently, forgetting that it's Pesach. So because of the Chumrah of Chametz, which is an Isakares, we're going to require that you set up some sort of a Mechitza. A Mechitza, as we know from Masechta Erevin, has to be a minimum of 10 Tfachim high. And then we're not afraid that he'll come to eat the Chametz. If the chametz belongs to Hegdesh, we're not even going to be afraid that maybe he might come to eat the chametz. He's bottle mine the whole year round. Amarav Yudomarav Hamafaresh Vayotze Bishayara. What's the deal with someone who's going away for Pesach? You remember those old days? And the question is, does he have to do a bedikas chametz? Well, if he's going away on Erev Pesach, meaning he checks out of his house after the 14th of Nisan with nightfall, then for sure he has to do bedika. But what if he's leaving on the 13th of Nisan? I'll give you an even more extreme case. What happens if he goes away after Purim, he checks out of his house in Baka, and he's going to Teaneck, New Jersey, the day after Purim? He's got a full month till Pesach. So Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Yotzi B'Shayar, he's going out, he's checking out of his house. Kodem Shloshim Yom, if he leaves before Purim, 31 days before Yontif he leaves, Eino Zakuk Levar. We're not going to expect him to do a Bedika and get rid of his chametz 31 days before Pesach. But Tov Shloshim Yom, if you've already hit that zone of within 30 days, and the Gemara is going to try to analyze why the number 30 of Pesach, then you have to destroy your chametz. Make sure before you check out of your house to do a bedika. That's what the halacha requires. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Hadi Amar Toshal Shem Yom Zokuk Levar. The Toshal Shem Yom, says Abaye, is not an automatic obligation. You have to add another condition. You're only obligated if A, it was Toshal Shem Yom, and number two, Elisha Daito Lachzar. He's leaving 29 days before the Chag, and he intends to come back for Yontif. So we have two conditions that are met, and therefore he's Chayv Levayr. Avol Ein Daito Lachzar, Ein Zok Levayr, if he leaves before Pesach, again earlier than the 14th of Nisan. So he left his house on the 13th of Nisan. He has no intention whatsoever coming back for Pesach. Ein zochuk levayir, because Abai says you're only chayim in bedika in yotze b'sheyor if two conditions have been met. Number one, you're within the 30-day period before Pesach, and number two, your intention is to return to your house before Pesach. Amalei Rava, itaito lachzar. If you're telling me that he intends to come back before Pesach, then afilu mi Rosh Hashanah nami. Even if he leaves on Rosh Hashanah's house, he's got to do a bedika because he knows he's going to come back the last minute before the Chag. He probably won't have the time to do a bedika. He better do a bedika before he leaves his house. I don't care. It could be a full year before Pesach. On Motzei Pesach, he leaves his house and he intends to be back for next Pesach. He's got to do a bedika, says Rav. Elam Rava Hadi Amit, what it says in the Brisa, that if he leaves Kodim Shloshim Yom, Ein Zokuk Levayir, that he is potter from Bedika because he left his house before the 30-day period. Lo Amor and El Shein Daito Lachzar, Avol Daito Lachzar, Fili Yotzim El Shona, Zokuk Levayir. According to Rava, there are two conditions, but two conditions lift are. Abai says you're only chayv if you have two conditions. Number one, it's within 30 days. Number two, it's daito lachza. And Rava says the only time that you're potter from bedika is when you have two conditions. Number one, it's before 30 days. And number two, you have no intention of returning. V'azda Rava l'tameh. And Rava, in his interpretation of Rav's statement about Yotze b'shayora, is really consistent with what he says about Ose Beso Otzer. The Yom Rava Ose is Beso Otzer. If he may have chametz on the ground, but he's now piling up grains and straw and whatnot on top of his chametz. And now the question is, before we allow him to make his house into a storage place and put all his grains there, perhaps we have to require of him that he do a bedika first and make sure there's no chametz there. So Rava says, Kodem Shloshim Yom Ein Zokuk Levayir. If he's doing this action of transforming his house from a base dira, from a residence, to an otzar, where he's going to pile up all his stuff, then if it's before Shloshim Yom Ein Zokuk Levayir, then he's allowed to. Now he may have chametz there. How could that be that we allow him to do such thing? The answer is, this is a sugya later on, which is called Nafla Olav Mapolis, that if the chametz is buried, then you don't have to get rid of it. But Tosh Shloshim Yom, if within 30 days he is converting his house into an otzar, Zokuk Levayir. The Kodim Shloshim Nami, says Rava, even when we exempted you from Bedika because it was before Shloshim Yom, we have another condition. That's only Elisha Ein Daito Lefanoso. In other words, during the course of Pesach, he has no intention whatsoever of taking out the otzar, of removing this grain and sending it out to market. Avol Daito Lefanoso, if his intention is that he's going to clear it out during the course of Pesach, is Afilu Kodem HaPesach Shloshim Yom Nami Zokuk Levayir. Why? Because the Ptur requires two conditions. Number one, it's before Shloshim Yom, but that's not an automatic Ptur. We have another condition. It's got to be Ein Daito Lachso, or in this case, Ein Daito Lefanoso. But if it's Daito Lefanoso, I couldn't care less. You left even Rosh Hashanah time. You have to be Mevar Yechametz before you add the, pile in all those stacks of grains and so forth and so on. The Gemara asks, Hani Shloshim Yom Mai Avidite. We've been discussing that critical moment of the Chiyuv Biur at 30 days before Pesach. Where does that come from? Kedisanya, the Gemara answers, it comes from the Braisa called Shol Ividarshim. I have a sefer here called Shol Ividarshim. It's a very famous phrase. V'hilchas HaPesach Kodem Pesach Shloshim Yom, 30 days before Pesach, we are required to study the halachos, and the Rav, when he gives his public drasha, he's got to address issues of Pesach. And if he is talking about whatever he's talking about in Divrei Torah, and somebody raises their hand and they want to ask a shaila in Hilchos Pesach, usually we say if it's a shoel that's asking something that's a tangent and it's not relevant to the study that are engaged in, then we don't pay attention to such questions. But in this case, because of the halacha sholem v'darshin, we're going to recognize this person's right to ask his question about Pesach, because within that 30-day period, we have to have Pesach on our minds. And there's a whole discussion here about what about Sukkos and what about Shavuos. But in Pesach, where there's so many complicated mitzvahs and the Iser Chametz and the laws of Hechsher Kelim, here we have to give it a 30-day period of time before the Chag to prepare ourselves for the Chag. It's enough 14 days, a two-week period of time. The Gemara now is going to analyze here on Daf Vavam and Beis the machlokes between the Tanakhama requires 30 days of study as opposed to Rav Shimon who requires only 2 weeks of study. My time in Tanakhama. Shari Moshe Omeid B'Pesach Rishon. We're learning now Parshas Bahaloscha. This is the Parsha of Pesach Sheni. And already on Pesach Rishon, Mazir al Pesach Sheni. So the amount of time between the 14th of Nisan, Pesach Rishon, and the 14th of Iyar, Pesach Sheni, is 30 days. Shenemer, it says, Vayasu b'nei Yisrael sa Pesach bim moado. And the Pasuk in the 9th parak of Bamidbar says that Klal Yisrael brought the Pesach in its proper time. And after its ksiv, it says in the next pasuk, or a few pasukim later, I should say, it says, "Vayehi anashim asher hayu tmeim l'nefesh ha'adam." There were people who were contaminated. Some say these were very chashvi Jews. They were the ones who carried the bones, the aron of Yosef, when they went from Mitzrayim to Eretz Canaan, to the Midbar, excuse me. And mishum tumasam, because they had contracted tumah, they weren't able to bring the korban pesach at its time on the 14th of Nisan. They came in front of Moshe. They said, "Laman nigara lebilti hakriv is korban Hashem b'moado." And at that moment, Moshe got the word from Hashem to teach them the laws of Pesach Sheni. And when the pasuk says, "Vayasu b'nei Yisrael sa Pesach b'moado," it means we're referring to a period of time when they brought Pesach Rishon, which was a full month before Pesach Sheni, and already at that time, Moshe was teaching the laws of Pesach Sheni. The Gemara later on is going to try to clarify how the Psukim indicate conclusively that Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching them during Pesach Rishon about Pesach Sheni. But the fact that it says V'yasu b'nei Yisrael sa Pesach b'moado, b'moado seems to refer to Pesach Rishon, and then the pasuk tells me that Moshe transmitted the laws of Pesach Sheni 1 month in advance. Rav Shingam Liel Omar, after all, he's of the opinion that all you need is 2 weeks, that suffices. Amalecha, there's no proof. The Aidi, the Airi b'mili de Pischa, masaklu l'chomi de Pischa. He's already on Erev Pesach, teaching them about Pesach Rishon, and now the issue of Pesach Sheni came up because Lama Nigora, and he taught them the laws of Pesach Sheni. So that doesn't prove that before every Yontif, you would have to, you know, give it a 30-day period before Yontif to teach the laws of the Chag. So my time in the Rav Shimon Gamliel, okay, he rejects the proof and the derivation of the Chachamim of 1 month, but how does he come up with 2 weeks? And the answer is that Hare Moshe Ome Brosh Chodesh Nisan Umazir Ala Pesach 2 weeks later. Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching the laws of Pesach on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's 14 days before the Chag, Shenemar. It says now we're in Parshas Bo. Before the Rabbanu were in Parshas Baloscha, Rav Shimon Gamliel is in Parshas Bo. And it says, Achodesh Azelachem Rosh Chodoshim. And this Parsha was given by Moshe Rabbeinu on Rosh Chodesh. This month of Nisan is called Rosh Chodoshim. It's the first month of the year. And then the next part of the Parsha, there in Vayikra Yidbeis, in Shmos Yidbeis, it says, Ksiv, Dabrul kol adas Yisrael lemar biasar lachodesh hazeh v'yikhu lahem ish sel beis avos, etc. V'yel lachem l'shmeres ad arba asar yom lachodesh hazeh. So on Rosh Chodesh, Moshe Rabbeinu is already teaching the laws of Pesach. So the Gemara immediately rejects this. Mimahid b'reish yarchokoi. How do you know that Moshe, when he gave this parsha of the Yikhu Lahem Ish Selebeis Avos Alabayas, he was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Dilma Biarba Biarcha Bechamisha Biarcha Koi. Maybe it was on the 4th of the month, the 5th of the month. Ella, so we have to come up with a different alternative source for Rav Shimon Gamliel. Omar Rabba Bar Shimi Mishmei Deravina Mehocha. His source is Enochinami in Parshas Baal Loscha. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'shon ha'shinis l'tzeisah me'eretz Mitzrayim b'chodesh ha'rishon le'mar. Hashem is transmitting to Moshe in Midbar Sinai. This is the second year after they came out of Mitzrayim. In the first month, which we're going to assume on Rosh Chodesh in that month. And immediately it says, K'siv v'yasu b'nei Yisrael sa'pesach b'mo'ado. So Moshe Rabbeinu was already teaching and warning the Jewish people about Pesach in the Midbar on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and that's 2 weeks before the Pesach. So the Gemara again says, Hoch, and now I have the same question, the same objection I raised earlier. What proof do you have that when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu stood and he conveyed to them the laws of Pesach, that took place on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? How do you know that? Om Rav Nachman, I'll tell you how I know it. I have a gzeirah shavu. Om Rav Nachman, Yitzchok Asya, Midbar, Midbar. We have a gzeirah shavu, Midbar, Midbar, Ksiv Hocha, here in the parsha of Pesach. It says, B'midbar Sinai, Uksiv Hosom. There in the parsha of counting B'nai Yisrael, at the beginning of Sefer B'midbar, the Torah says, V'idaber Hashem al Moshe, B'midbar Sinai, Bo'ol Moed, B'echod Lachodesh Hasheni. It's explicit that it took place on Rosh Chodesh. And it says the word Midbar. So Moshe got the command to count the numbers of Bnei Yisrael on Rosh Chodesh in the Midbar. It's Mala Halon, just like in the later Parshia. B'Rosh Chodesh Afkan Rosh Chodesh. In other words, when it says in the Parsha of counting B'nai Yisrael, it says B'Echol HaChodesh, that means on Rosh Chodesh. So too, when it says V'Yidaber Hashem al Moshe B'Midbar Sinai, and then immediately afterwards V'Yasu B'nai Yisrael Es HaPesach, it was also on Rosh Chodesh. Now we have a sugya called Ein Mukdom U'Uchar B'Torah. What precipitates this analysis of the Gemara at this particular juncture? We had two psukim, and we were focused on those two psukim as far as understanding Rabbi Shmuel and his Gzeirah Shava of Midbar Midbar. In one pasuk, which appears at the very beginning of Sefer B'Midbar, Hashem commands Moshe to count the people of Israel. But when? Again, it was on Rosh Chodesh, but Rosh Chodesh of which month? And the pasuk says, "V'echad l'chodesh hasheni." That's Iyar. So it's on Rosh Chodesh Iyar that Moshe got the command to count the people of Israel. Hence the name of that book, Numbers. In that case, they got it right. But 9 prakim later, in Parshas Baloscha, Moshe is standing on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, according to this Gzeirah Shava, teaching the laws of the Korban Pesach, as Rabbi Shmuel said 2 weeks before the Chag. So wait a second. The Torah opens up a Midbar on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and then 9 chapters later tells you what happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan a month earlier? So the Gemara asks, V'nichtov b'reisha d'chodesh rishon, v'nichtov v'hadar nichtov v'chodesh hasheni. The Torah should have presented in the following sequence. First tell me the parsha of Korban Pesach, which was transmitted by Moshe to the people on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, a full month before the Bamidbar and the counting of Bnei Israel. And he should say Sheni. Sheni means in a subsequent parsha, he should have told us about what happened in Chodesh HaSheni, what happened in the second month of Iyar, a full month later, when Moshe got the command to count Bnei Yisrael. Omar Rav Menashe Bar Tachlifa Mishmei Derav, so Somers Ein Mukdom Umiyucha BaTorah. Here is the source for this famous principle that the Torah is not necessarily organized and ordered in chronological order. Omar Rav Papa Lo Amoron, don't think that we can always apply the principle of Ein Mukdom Umiyucha BaTorah. Ela Betrei In Yoni. That applies in two different parshas. If you're going to apply the principle of Ein Mukdom Umiyucha BaTorah within the same parsha, you are going to undermine the laws of drasha, the rules that govern, and the principles that determine how you darshan halachas. Av b'chad inyan, if you're going to apply Ein Mukdom Umiyucha BaTorah within one parsha, is my de mukdom mukdom and my de mucha mucha. What comes first came first, and what comes second, dilo temachi, if you don't agree with me, and you're going to apply this principle of ein mukdom mucha b'torah even within the same parasha, is klalu prat, one of the rules by which we dash in the Torah and we derive halachas, is klal uprat, meaning the klal came first, and the prat came second. Ein b'chlal el mashe b'frat. That the prat, which came second, whittles down the scope and the application of the klal. Is tilma prat uklal? How can you call it a klal uprat? V'ein b'klal el mashe b'frat. Maybe we'll apply ein mukdom mucha b'torah. And really, what you have here is a prat and a klal. Meaning, when God gave the Torah, maybe He gave the prat first, even though it appears second in the Torah. And the klal he gave second, even though it appears first in the Torah. So you've basically virtually undermined the whole principle of klal uprat ein b'klal olamash b'frat. Because the whole principle is based on the fact that Hashem gave a klal, and then he whittled it down with the prat. But now you're saying ein mukdom ucha b'torah. The answer says, Rav Papa, you're right. Ein mukdom ucha b'torah in two different parshios. That's called trei and yoni. But within the same parsha, you have to maintain the sequential end. Integrity, because otherwise you're going to undermine the whole principle of drush to the Torah, visu, and furthermore, says Rav Papa, we have another principle called prat uklal. If the prat came first and then the klal, is nasa klal mosif al haprat, which means that now the klal goes way beyond the prat. And this is one of the yud gimel midol shatorah nidreshes bahen. That if there's a din mesuyam and it's only a prat, we should have said that din only applies to a prat or something very similar to it. But therefore, the Torah adds afterwards a klal in order lahavi kol davar afilum eino doma leprat. Even if it's not similar to the prat, that's the klal mosav al prat. But Dilma, how do you know that Hashem gave the klal first and then He gave the prat second? I'm sorry. How do you know God gave the prat first and then the klal second? Maybe it was the other way around. Dilma klalu pratu. Maybe Hashem gave the klal, and then we have the principle of ein b'klal el mashe b'frat. And we have to limit it to the prat. Whereas if it were a prat u klal, then we expand it and apply it way beyond the confines of the prat. So the Gemara now asks the following question on Rav Papa, on your distinction between Parsha Achas, Shtei Parshios, Ihochi. If you're right, then let's look at the Midos, Shator Nidreshes Bahem, and let's look at this principle called Ein Mukdom Ucha B'Torah. Is Afilu Betrei Yoni Nami, even in the case of two Parshios, you're going to have to insist, Rav Papa, according to your logic, that there is a say there, there's a definite sequence. Because if you don't agree with that, then how can you darshan klal uprat, or prat uklal, in two different parashios? And the Gemara now is going to analyze this. Hanicha, I can understand your distinction, Rav Papa, l'mandi. I'm according to one opinion that says klal uprat meruchakim zemizeh Ein Dono So B'Klal U'Prat, that these rules and regulations, these principles like Klal U'Prat, only apply if the Klal and the Prat are written together in the same context. But if they're written in two different parshios, we don't apply the principle of Klal U'Prat. That can make sense, according to Rapapa, because in two parshios, we can apply the principle of Ein Mukdum Yuchu Torah. So we don't know whether it's a Klal U'Prat or just the opposite. It's really a Prat to Klal. Shop, everything fits into place. But what, Rav Papa, are you going to say to the Mandi Omar? El Mandi Omar, Dunim, we derive Klatu Prat, even Meruchakim Zebezef there in two different parashios, Michael and Meimar. How are we going to justify the Klalu Prat in two different parashios when you have the principle of Ein Mukta Mucha Betorah? And the more answers, Afilu, El Mandi Omar, even according to that opinion. That Dunim, that we have Klal U'Prat, will derive the halachas of Klal U'Prat, even if them ruchakim zemizeh hani mili bechad in yona. I will betray in yona ain't Dunim. When do we say that even in the case of ruchakim, according to this man the Omer, we're going to apply the principle of Klal U'Prat? That's because it's chad in yona. There's one subject matter, and the Torah spoke about it in two different places that are far one from the other, two different parashas. We'll apply Klal U'Prat. And in such a case, since it's Chad in Yona, we will not apply the principle of Ein Mukta Mucha V'Torah. Avol betray in Yoni. If you have a situation where you have a Klal and a Prat that are in two different parashas, Meruchakim Zebezeb, but not only that, they're written in two different contexts, then Ein Dunim, we're not going to subject it to the rule of Klal U'Prat. And when Rav said Ein Mukdum Mucha B'Torah, that's only in a case of Shnei Inyonim Shonim, two different subject matters. But B'Inyan Echad, even if they're Meruchakim Zemizeh, is the Torah is very makbid on the Seder Advarim, and the Klal came before the Prat, and therefore we could derive under the law, Klal U'Prat Ein B'Klal Ela Ma Shebifrat. And the next Gemara already opens up a whole new sugya about the requirement of Bittul and the bracha that we recite on Bedika. And that's here on Daf Vav Amud Beis. Amrav Yehuda Marav Habodek Tzarech Sheyvatel, which you'll see about 15 lines up from the bottom. So we're going to stop here, and Emir Hashem, and next year, Amrav Yehuda Marav Habodek Tzarech Sheyvatel.